And now, live from Pod Cabin in Burbank, California, it's the Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend show tonight. Allison welcomes her guests. He's one-third of the AEW World Trios champions, not to mention he's the best sizz in the biz. It's Anthony Bowens. Plus, he's a musician, podcaster, and a guy who I booked on the show so that he could call someone else Anthony. It's Todd Cooper. Husband Daniel is here, but did he bring the beans? I'm producer Tony, and I'll say the thing that Daniel always says. Hop on board the love bus and say hello to your new best friend, Allison Rosen.
Allison Rosen, Allison Rosen is your new best friend. Allison, Allison, with her the good times never end. Allison Rosen, doing the wavy dance again. Allison Rosen, Allison's your new best friend.
Hello, my little Boston cream donuts. Welcome to another exciting episode of Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. That particular coconutty carbohydrate was sent in on Patreon.
Patreon.
By Kim Platt. And yes, I am on Patreon. All sorts of fun stuff. You can get bonus episodes of my Patreon podcast, The Friend Zone. There's a love where you can text me and I'll text you back. And other assorted this and that. If you're going to subscribe, I would recommend an annual subscription and you get 2 months free.
That's a good deal.
Patreon.com/AllisonRosen. I would like to say hello to my guests. Anthony Bowens, hello and welcome back.
Hello. I'm glad to be back. I love that intro. It was a great read by you, Tony.
And Tony,
it's such a happy, perky song. I'm in a good mood now.
I am so happy. Todd Cooper, hello.
Howdy.
Welcome back to you.
Glad to be back.
You're back more often than Bowens, so I feel that I modulated my excitement for him.
You toned it down a little bit,
sort of like on an airplane. You know that, like, they're the same flight attendant is going to be nicer in first class.
Yeah, that's right.
You're getting like a business plus.
Oh, I'm at best the back of the plane. It's okay.
I can be ruder. Just wait. Wait till you see this.
That's what I'm for. I'm for, like, in the podcast world, that's what I'm for. I'm like, you got to have some bozo to pay out on in the middle of it. That's what I'm here for.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Totally get it.
I get it.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi. Thank you.
Great to see you.
Yeah, thanks. I see you all day.
I know.
But it's great. It's still great to see me.
Can I share? Mm-hmm. Well, I got to do a little business first, but then can I share our conversation over cleaning the poop? I will.
Sure. I'm not sure what it is, but
I'm going to make a note so I don't forget.
Oh boy. Get ready. I mean, this is a tease, folks. You should save it for the end of the show.
And then they'll listen to the picture up on your Instagram.
I will,
poop
just I should make it a Patreon exclusive.
Yeah. I mean, if you were a better business person, maybe, but
I do this for the art. Hi, yeah. Tony.
Hi.
Tony's Picks.
Nice.
Oh my god, is that new?
Yeah, I spent upwards of 2 minutes on that today.
It sounds like at least a minute and a half.
Oh yeah, hired a real horn section. Those were 100% real horns, as you can tell. Yeah.
Are those the guys who played with god, which of the many, Save Ferris?
No, I spent the big bucks for Tower of Power.
Oh wow. Okay, we'll hear it again.
You're going to hear it a lot today, I have a feeling.
Tony's Picks.
Oh my god. Warm, buttery tones for Tony Thaxton. I love it. Well, as everyone knows, this is the return of Tony's Picks. We originally did this, was it 2 years ago?
I think it was like exactly 2 years, because I was looking up and it was April. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. This is actually kind of what got me into wrestling, because Tony booked RJ City. Well, I had interviewed Alexa Bliss before that, but I didn't get into wrestling from that. And then Tony booked RJ, and then we started having RJ on.
You said RJ, and Anthony just laughed at me.
He's a funny guy.
He is a funny guy. And then that started that. Yeah, that's crazy. That's 2 years exactly. What happened last year? We completely forgot.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's your show.
Wow.
We have a drop to that, to attest to that.
Yep. We sure do. It's somewhere. Maybe we'll hear it at some point.
I guess I'll just be moving on then.
Yeah, why
not? No, do it. Daniel, just do a reenactment.
Yeah, live drop. The listener doesn't know.
It's Allison's show.
Oh, thanks.
There you go. Thank you.
Anyway, yeah. So this is exciting. This is starting 4 weeks of Tony's choices for guests. Okay. And now, the much ballyhooed poop discussion. We like to clean our yard of dog poop before guests come. And as sometimes happens in marriage, it's Daniel's the only one who ever does it. I'm sorry. And that's not I have done it on occasion. But for the most part, like taking the trash out.
It's statistically zero for you. I mean, yes, technically you've done it, but it's as close to zero times as it can be.
I try to have it be zero. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Daniel was in the bathroom and I said, like, Daniel or honey or whatever it is I call him. Hey, honey. That's what I said. Hey, honey. And, sure. And you're like, yes.
Get this exactly right or no one's going to believe it.
And then I said, can you clean the poop when you're done? And you said, huh? And I said, can you clean the poop when you're done? And you said, you have to poop? And I said, no, can you clean the poop?
They would think I'm 80 from the stories you tell.
That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Were you listening to something? I feel like you're...
Yes, I was. Oh. I was listening to a podcast.
What was it?
Oh, I was listening to Rachel Goes Rogue.
What's that?
What
it's a Vanderpump spinoff podcast, Vanderpump Rules.
What is it? A spinoff of what?
Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, okay.
It's a Bravo show. It's a reality show.
I'm not...
But for
am some... I ashamed? Do I have shame? No. Yes, I watch Vanderpump Rules, and I listen to several of the podcasts associated with Vanderpump Rules.
If you listen to Rachel, it's not just like the... Not that there is a main podcast, but this is so deep in the layers of satellite.
It's deep lore. This is someone who's no longer on the show. Oh, wow. She was the girl who, if you heard of Scandoval, took the world by storm last year when she had cheated with her friend's long-term boyfriend. It was...
So it's just like a step above fanfic?
Well, she's the real person.
Wait, these are things that actually happened?
This is a reality show.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Bones, do you watch?
Yes.
You do?
Not by choice.
Okay.
Not that it's a bad thing. Like,
that's how it began for me.
But I was forced to watch it. And then, as if like everything else, I just got hooked and we watched everything from start to finish. So I'm aware of the scandal.
Yes.
Not aware of the podcasts.
So this is Raquel/Rachel's podcast.
Yes.
They each have a podcast, and Raquel/Rachel, who's not on this season, started her own podcast as a way of kind of telling her side of things. And it's
smart.
I find it to be really interesting because she has done a bunch of work on herself. She went away to this like mental health facility for a few months. And so it's kind of like this weird contrast with, I'm sitting here trying to make it like it's not just, you know, fucking me enjoying mess.
Wait, so do you watch The Valley as well?
No, I haven't started that yet. I think that's next up.
That's pretty good.
I'm more into The Valley than Vanderpump right
really?
Now. Really? Mm-hmm, if possible.
What's the difference for you?
I feel like Vanderpump is a little bit on it. Like, it's almost jumping the shark a little bit.
It's just on fumes.
I feel like they're trying. Yeah, there's not a lot of there's not a lot of meat on the bone anymore. It feels like to
me. So this is a fresh take on everything that's been
happening. And Jax and Kristen are on this.
Two of the messiest people that have ever been on that show. And I have realized the key ingredient to a good reality show is at least one legitimate psychopath.
And this has multiple, maybe two, maybe three. Yeah.
So it's it's good.
Do you watch anything you're embarrassed by?
Yeah, a lot. I just watched the Netflix one. What's the dating like the blind?
Oh,
Love is Blind.
Thank you. Yeah, Love is Blind.
I have never seen Love is Blind,
and I often confuse
it in my head with Love on the Spectrum, but I know they're totally different. What is the gimmick with Love is Blind?
By the way, Love on the Spectrum.
Gimmick, I love it.
Sorry. Big wrestling term. Sorry, not to cut you off.
What's the work? Right? No. Is it a work? We think VPR might be a work at this point. I used it right that time, right?
Yes, that's a correct usage of it.
A work?
A work. Means it's...
Scripted.
Scripted, or it's fake.
Oh, not like work in the arm. When somebody... Like, that's what I thought when you said work.
Work in the arm like a politician shaking a lot of
no,
hands?
No, like wrestling.
I mean, that's a different concept. Yeah, two different things.
Wait, sorry, what is that one?
Yeah, like when I was watching wrestling, I am not current. When I was a kid watching wrestling, it was always like, you know, Sting would throw a guy and then like hurt his arm and then he'd start, he would just be like working on that one arm.
Oh, got it.
Oh, he's working the arm.
Like when
working the leg, working
the last
whatever.
Time I got my teeth cleaned, the dental hygienist said to
working
me,
"Working your teeth."
She's like, "Hang on, I'm just going to grind away here." I can't remember if she said grind away or if she said hack away, but whatever it was, it's like something you don't want to hear. Like she needed me to, first of all, we don't need to have a conversation. You're in my mouth.
Yeah.
But second of all, she needed to like. Let me know she's going to go into her own little dental world.
And that's a little passive aggressive sort of comment. Like, she doesn't want to straight up say that you could brush your teeth better. You could do a better job. So she's like, I'm gonna disappear for a while as I hack away.
I'm going to pop in some earbuds and listen to something that puts me in the zone.
Yeah. She's going to have to get out the tools they don't usually use, you know? Right. It's going to be a little messy.
You're going to see a weed whacker. That's part of it for you.
In my defense,
it's like
they
gas
always compliment me on you don't build tartar, so that's great. Which actually, and it's usually like you're late, like we were talking about before the show started, but that's okay because you don't. So I don't know why she had to hack away. I don't know. She was going through a breakup, she told me.
Okay. Oh, she was taking it out on your teeth.
I think she might have that.
You don't want that.
That's why she's like going to put, like, you were so frustrated. Normally you'd be like, someone's going to put their headphones and you're like, great. Go do your thing. Like, I don't need to be part of a conversation.
Yeah, I know.
Go to work.
Yeah.
But like,
let me know when you need me.
You can't be like, I'm going through a breakup. Anyway, here goes some headphones. Like, you're like, wait, hang on.
I know.
I'm invested.
Yeah, I know, because she had gone to, Reggae Sunsplash with her boyfriend. Do you know what this is? Of course you know, because you grew up in Orange County, right?
I grew up, I lived there. That's in Orange County, though?
Yeah. You didn't grow up there.
We had one in Virginia Beach. I'm familiar.
Are there Sunsplashes everywhere?
I feel like there are.
The Whalers were very busy
when I was a boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bowens, are you familiar with, is it always Reggae Sunsplash, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think it was it held at UCI?
Just like a reggae festival, right?
Yeah. That's,
okay. I think I know, but yeah.
But I feel like it's iconic. It. Maybe just because there aren't that many reggae festivals that everyone goes to. I never went, but.
Wait, we completely veered off topic. What was the question to Todd?
Oh, yeah.
This is
Thank
how these
you.
Ones go.
Thank you. What embarrassing thing do you watch? It was Love is Blind.
Love is Blind. Yeah. But Love on the Spectrum is so great.
I have that on my to watch
Dude, it is. I get goofy when I watch that show. I like, really? I get silly, I laugh, I cry. I like, and I'm not like a big.
For Love is Blind?
No, Love on the Spectrum. I
would be a great little bit if you did. For Love is Blind.
I cry at everything. Cops. Love on the Spectrum is the best show, I feel like. Have you watched it? You haven't watched it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Has anybody seen it?
I've heard it's really heartwarming.
Am I crazy?
It is very heartwarming.
Yeah. That's right.
But thank you for that. But it also makes me feel bad if I don't like one of the cast members.
Fair enough.
Because then I feel like I should like everybody.
Yeah.
There are definitely some
I feel
of them.
Like a terrible person.
Some of them are easier to like. Like some of the quirks that people have are like hard.
Yeah.
I mean, like there are people who are tough. But I find myself loving them in their own like weird way where I'm like, that's a tough thing that they are. But also like you love that they're so that thing kind of. I don't know. It's great. It's great.
I'll have to watch that.
I would recommend.
Yeah.
Would you also recommend Love is Blind?
Love is Blind, yeah.
What is the gimmick?
And Love is Blind?
Yeah.
Love is Blind is they don't see each other, so there's like a section of men, a section of women, like that they keep separate, and then they go into these pods, these little rooms, where they can't see each other, but they have these dates or whatever. So they get to know each other.
Wearing a blindfold, or
no? It's like there's a wall between them, and so the pods, like they're facing each other, and they can't see each other.
They just can't see each other.
So it's essentially like phone dating. So they fall in love.
That was actually a show that launched our YouTube channel because we did the first three parodies that we did was Love is Blind, just probably unfairly eviscerating these couples
in the nicest way possible.
Yeah. Maybe sometimes I feel like it's just the editing that makes them look bad, and then we feel bad, but at the same time, it's comedy. So, so we got really into all the seasons of Love is Blind, except that I think season three was a little. But season four returned to form, and we enjoyed it.
Remind everyone the name of your YouTube channel.
YouTube channel is Michael and Anthony. Okay. I know this was not a setup to plug it. Now that I think about it, but I don't know
because you're like, wait a minute, what are we talking about? Now, is everyone attractive on Love is Blind?
That's the game
part of it.
I
see.
That is what you're getting to. That
I
is
feel
the
like
gimmick.
That's shitty to ugly people.
It's like, I mean, that is, it is shitty to ugly people, but that's like,
and then it's like, oh, you're the booby prize.
I think people go in with the expectation that, like, you know, if you're an uggo, that you could like wind up with someone and that you fall in love before, right, they like, see you and
it's
you win.
Leveling the
but
plane.
But what about yeah. the other way?
What? Oh, like if yeah, I mean,
has there been a situation where there's someone who is just objectively ugly, who made a connection with somebody and then that person wasn't disappointed?
Oh,
like
that's
they.
Not what I thought you were going to ask. Yeah, but there was a thing in season 4 where someone said that a lot of people tell her that she looks like Megan Fox. She does not in any way, shape, or form.
I saw references
to
this.
Yeah, somehow I've heard about
this. Yeah, because it was all over social media.
Yeah, it was a big thing.
Not to be mean, but no, she was not. Right. And I think he was expecting that. And,
oh, don't. And she was set expectations.
Because at the end of the pods, if they propose to each other, there's a big reveal where they're standing behind 2 doors, they can't see each other, and then the doors open for the first time, and then they finally see the person that they've been speaking to for weeks. And sometimes it's elation, other times it's like,
frozen, yeah.
Oh, like, God, that would be
and
so
And then
awkward.
they have to embrace or do something, but it's just really awkward and
right.
It's cringy.
My favorite is the interviews afterwards. It'd always be like, they're always nice because you've just talked for like days on end to this person. So always like nice and cordial. And then immediately after, they go into a room where like there's an interview, and as if they think that they're not going to show this on television. They immediately are like, yeah, not what I thought, or whatever the thing that they say to the camera that they're going to see.
Of course.
Right.
You're going to be at the reunion show. You've watched 3 seasons of this.
Yeah.
Like, set yourself up to win. But they never do. I wonder what those producers are asking to get them to say some of that stuff. Because it's like, boy, it's wild.
Yeah. I think it's probably just very simple and they just don't know what they're being set up for. It's like, yeah, what do you think of this person's looks? And they're like, well, I think she's ugly. Like, and it goes right into it, and they yeah. don't know that it's being set up to be edited in a certain
yeah,
way.
That's right.
I kind of remember, not the same, but I remember that feeling a little bit from when I did online dating before it was apps. Okay, so
wait, is this VHS tapes people would record? They go into a room and watch. Yeah,
it was a tablet rendering you right. receive in the mail. I'm like, this is not a sketch of you. So yeah. I'm old enough that I remember when the idea of like it was like personals, yeah. like the, oh, that's something that just desperate people do. What
yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And I remember I moved to New York, and everyone there was doing this. It was a service called Spring Street, I forget what the last word was. Like, not Spring Street Singles, maybe it was. And like a lot of different magazines like had it on the sidebar. So it would be like through Nerve.com or through The Village Voice or through You're Nodding, Todd.
I feel like I've heard about this. Like friends of mine, I never lived in New York, but friends of mine did.
Spring Street Socials is what it was.
I feel like that is like a thing I'm familiar with.
So there was no stigma. Like everyone was doing it. So I did it for a little while too. And I can relate to that feeling of like, I have been communicating with this person for a while. Now I'm going to meet them in person for the first time. God, I hope I'm attracted to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole show.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I can't believe people ever make it out of that. It seems like such a low, like one or two maybe.
There's some successful couples that are still married from like season 1 or season 2. So it does work.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
I mean, work.
Wait, are we laughing because that's a wrestling word?
No. Yeah, I guess so now.
Third definition of work.
There's like 30 or 40 men and 30 or 40 women, and then out of that, like so many, you know, are actually dating, and then so many move on to the next stage. And then, you know, like there's this whole thing, and to get one is like, yeah, I mean, every now and again it works. I've had that same thought where I'm like, I guess it works for some people.
Yeah.
Two people. Hmm. But yeah, it's fun. That show's fun.
Tony.
Yeah.
I am going to, I realized I need to ask if you have time, not here, to whip up a new jingle for a segment that I feel like needs to happen. And it's Allison's medical chat, because I just want to update everyone. Had a couple moles removed.
Hell yeah.
See, this, we could play it beforehand if we had it. They're benign. They're just okay. moles. I know that people were unable to see. And then also, given my need to discuss hormones lately, you know, I just feel like all of it should be put in its own little section. But I had never had this little skin biopsy thing before. I know this is gross, and I know that no one cares, but I don't care that no one cares, which is a problem. But anyway, yes, well, I never had that before. And so then anyway, they did this thing, and then they're like, yeah, we'll let you know in 2 weeks. Doesn't that seem like a very long time?
It's awful.
Seems like, yes.
I had that for the first time because I have a skin condition called hairy nevi where I have birthmarks all over my body and I had to have them removed when I was like 2. So I have scars. But one of the scars had like a little, looked like a moly thing growing in it, and it was freaking me out because I guess I'm more prone to like skin cancers and stuff like that. So I went to get a biopsy. And I didn't hear from them for like, it felt like months. Yeah. And then I came back from the road and I checked my mail. There was like a postcard that was like, hey, it's benign.
A postcard?
I was like, I've been sitting like sweating for weeks. Like you could have called me, like texted
That's
me,
insane.
Anything. But it was literally a postcard that checked off like, hey, it's benign.
It's like a cartoon character like, hey, good luck. You know.
Yeah. I Congratulations. Feel like if I hadn't called, I don't know that they were ever going to call me. I think that my understanding is Holy if it's shit. Something gnarly,
then they'll contact
you. I think so. But if not, because now.
But still.
Yeah, I know. A postcard. That's crazy.
The reason we deal with like email and all the bullshit that we have to do with it is because it's so fast. Like it's worth it for the things that like, for instance, if you have cancer or not. Like what the fuck?
Yeah,
right.
That's so excessive. Like that's
carrier
like,
pigeon. It just lands on my roof.
It's like it's a fuck you to send an but it's so mail,
and it's so easy for stuff to get thrown away because the amount of shit you get in the mail, it could get inserted in one of those coupon things, and you know, especially a postcard. I mean,
I've never been more angry in my life.
Yeah.
But I was relieved, so I didn't care.
That's how they get you. If you get the you got cancer postcard, you'd be pissed.
Yeah, a lot of different things.
Do you think it would be a postcard, or do you think it'd be like something like when back in the day when you would get into college? You know, the size of the envelope supposedly. Indicated whether it was like, because now all that's online.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah,
I think they do singing telegrams.
Guess what? It's not great. I don't know if you can see if it's happened since last time I was here. I don't remember, but I have this huge scar on my face where I had a thing removed.
Oh my god, Tony. There's so much medical chat. This is amazing. Okay.
So I did have the skin cancer. Not the one that's like
the basal
murder one. Basal cell.
Yeah.
Where they're like, hey, it's not great. We're going to remove it, but it's not going to kill you tomorrow. So I found out before COVID that I had 2. And it was like they wanted to do the deep nasal swab. I was like, fuck that noise. I'll just wait till COVID's over. So I waited. I went. I did the nose one. It went sideways. It took forever to like heal right.
Wait, what? You did the nose?
They removed one of my nose, and then I had one on my cheek. So
you have like a backwards 7 on your cheek.
Yeah,
right
that's
now.
Right.
Did you get the Mohs?
This guy knows.
I had it.
Did you have a sassy scar like that?
Yeah, that's a scar. I think.
Yours looks great.
Yeah, they did it on my smile line.
Get on the mic there.
Huh. Sorry. Well, they've heard the story.
Oh, dude, it's here's the thing about it is you can go to the dentist now, and if you're like. I'm not crazy about getting my teeth clean, for instance. You can be like, yeah, put me out. And they're like, sure. They'll put you out for anything now. Like,
really?
You can get, yeah, like, people.
I need to start doing that. Well,
there are dentists that are like, yeah, if you, like, even, like, for cleanings and stuff, like, they don't care.
I need to take advantage of that, too. Yeah.
Like, I feel like I've heard that. I might be writing this, but I think this is true.
But, you're just saying stuff.
Here's a thing that sounds interesting.
Yeah, this seems right to me. Yeah. But I was like begging them, like, there's nothing I can do to like be put out for this. It's awful. Like,
yeah, well, plus I don't know how yours went, but that's the kind of surgery where they take a piece of your skin out, but they have to leave it exposed while they test the perimeter to see if they've got all of the cancer cells. And if they don't, then they go back and then they keep doing it until they've got it all. So
you
like
sit there for an hour while you're like, sitting you're waiting there.
Well, there's like
to
a
check
for me, it was like a nickel size hole in
that's
my
a big
cheek.
One.
Yeah.
I hope they numb it, right?
Yes. Yeah,
they
do. Otherwise, it's just torture.
They give you something to chew on and a bottle of Jack. And, you like, know, it's like.
I can't believe you just have bullets in a drawer. Yeah. gotta step it up.
I shouldn't go to Frontier Town for my surgeries.
I ended up with like 30 stitches, though. And like inside, outside, like it was crazy. And I'm like, this is like straight surgery. And they did it all local. Uh-huh. I mean, it took them like 20 minutes just to numb me up with needle. It was so brutal. And I was like, can we just, like, you put me out for this part.
Right.
I don't need
but
to
they
be
just,
around.
They said no.
They were like,
no.
Nah.
No, nothing. Like,
hour
no
and a half
tranquilizer
of,
or anything.
No, hour and a half of stitching. And it was just like, you just get used to it. It's just, it's brutal. I was not into it. And then, I expected it to be a tiny, like, 5 stitches. And it was like a lot. So now I have a backward 7 on my face. I just left like, I guess this is what I look like now. So yeah.
Well, yours is close to your eye too.
I hope so. Yeah, that was why.
Yeah.
This just actually reminded me that I'm supposed to do a schedule a skin checkup.
Yeah.
Cedar Sinai.
Everybody gets
it in my phone.
I also, speaking of snail mail and doctors, tried to schedule a colonoscopy because I'm 47, and I called the number and they were like, yeah, just fill out the paperwork, print it out, and then send it in via mail.
What?
Say what?
And I'm like, this is, I don't know if you know, the rest of society has moved to internet. Like, this part doesn't need paperwork. Like all my medical records are online.
Maybe because they deal, like, colonoscopies are usually done by older people who haven't figured out email yet.
Maybe. But I'm 47. Like, the generations are getting.
Right.
Coming
in. I believe this has come up before. While we were all focused on something else, they changed the colonoscopy age to 45. Mm-hmm. My whole life I thought it was 50. It's now 45.
I know. And they're gonna, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to do the whole guy.
So wait, with your face though, how
the one where they put the thing down your throat and the camera shake hands in your stomach or whatever happens?
Wait, they're going down the front too?
Oh yeah. I'll be out, I don't give a shit. Do whatever.
Wait,
also,
so
let
you're
me schedule
endoscopy too.
Yeah.
Why that?
They want to check everything out.
Okay. Just,
but like again, ooh, like
yeah,
you guys, I'm out. Let's do it all. Yeah. Call the other doctors in. Do this. Do the Mohs. This guy's paying for the anesthesia. I'm already out. Let's go.
I know. Right. I know.
Get it all done.
Let's maximize here.
Yeah, man. I'm in the shop. Like, put me up on the thing. Let's go.
So wait, though. How big was the thing they had to remove?
Not as big as a backward 7 on my face for the rest of my life, seemingly. Mm. Yeah.
Sorry.
It was tiny. It was tiny. It was a drag. But... Well, I'm sorry to bring it down on this comedy podcast, but it was like, it's like when I walked in, I was like, I wonder if anyone's going to say anything. When it first happened, like I would regularly talk to people and they'd be talking and it was one of those things where you could kind of notice it. But it was really loud once you saw it. Mm. So people would be talking, be like, how are you doing? Oh my God. Like 3 or 4 times that happened to me.
Well, I didn't notice it when I only noticed it when I started talking to you. And then I thought, as someone who loves to nap, I thought it was a sheet mark.
It does.
So
that's kind of look
that's
like that,
how light it is. It just looks like something like a pressure mark.
And
like, I'll just look like I'm lazy now, remember? Like,
and if the redness doesn't go away, they can hit it with lasers.
She told me that.
Yeah. So they can kind of reduce the redness.
I hope it's like a laser tag kind of fun thing.
It is. You have to run around and avoid
it. It's going
to
be a blast.
Doctor tries to get you.
Yep.
One more question, and then we're moving on. Wait, so what was there, though? Was there like a mole? Or?
Yeah, a little basal cell. Like, so yeah, I got the cancer.
I'm wondering what a basal cell looks like.
Oh,
though.
It's just like a
thing that doesn't heal, right?
Yeah, it's just like a little, mine looked like a freckle on my nose. Mm. It was just brown and small, like it was, but it was growing slowly.
When I met Daniel, was it when I met
I had
you?
One on my nose.
Or when we went out on my birthday? Yeah, he had a Band-Aid on his nose because he'd had that. Yeah.
You just had, so you've had.
Well, I had no, that was like a pre-cancer thing,
like a punch
that was removed.
There.
Yeah, I go all the time. I grew up in Tucson, and so like, it's like if you got sunburned really bad as a kid, 30 years later is when you suddenly have all. Yeah, because it's wild.
It
yeah, it's wild because. They were, they were just like, when I was a kid, I didn't use sunscreen.
Nope.
You know, this was like 70s, early 80s, and I don't think anyone knew what sunscreen was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was constantly getting burned, like constantly. So my skin is just fucked.
When I was like a surfer, and so I would just... This is insane. My move was just get sunburned really bad the first day of the year, and then it wasn't so bad after. Your body gets used to it, and then you're fine.
That's literally is what people say. They go, get burned, it'll peel, or whatever, and then you're good. Good to go.
Natural sunscreen.
Natural sunscreen. As though it's a virus that you got used to.
Oh, God. Insane. As I'm saying it out loud now, I can't believe I ever did that. But yeah, here we go.
So before we started, I was sharing a story of not being punctual. I have trouble being on time. I was taking my younger son, Owen, to an appointment at 1 o'clock. So I was picking him up from school. His school is pretty close to where we were going. And I knew that like I need to leave my house by this time. But then I got a little, the whole thing was a little bit late. And then we were maybe between we were 6 minutes late. And not a huge deal, but at the same time, why can't I just be parking at 12:55? Like, why can I not be that person? Now, Tony was saying that he's always early. And I just, I was thinking, like, this is the kind of thing that should be in my control. I should just be able to say, I'm
done.
Is in
your control. Is. I mean,
okay, stop. Boy, have you listened to some podcast about changing your thinking?
I'm just saying.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
It should be in my control to just make the decision. Because I feel like there's been, and I'm having trouble thinking of examples, but I feel like there's been other things in my life where I've been like, I'm done feeling this. Well, certainly in relationships, actually, where I'm like, you know what? Every time I see this person, I feel worse. I don't want to do
that anymore. Hey,
or whatever. There's things where I've taken control like that. So why can't I just take control with the punctuality thing? Where are you guys on the, like, are you, and if you are someone who's on time, what measures do you take to be on time?
You were on
you
time.
Can go first.
I think I have PTSD from college baseball, where the rule was if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. And if you were 14 minutes early, you were running poles, like back and forth. Like it was, it's pretty military like in most college sports. So because of that, I think I just tend to want to get places early. But I've noticed that no one else is like that. So I end up sitting there doing nothing. So I feel like getting there on time is the best bet. I don't want to be like 20 minutes late. But I will come exactly. I think I parked at 4 p.m. today, which is when I was asked to be here. So I try to be there like right on the nose because usually everybody else is late and then I can just hang out where I am.
When you go to wrestling shows, how much earlier than like when you need to be there do you get there?
It's pretty much right on time, or it depends on what's going on. Like if I know I'm not having a match and it's just something where it's a promo or something and I have to like finish up my workout, I won't rush. I'll just get there when I get there. But for the most part, if it's a match scenario and I know there's a lot of moving parts going on, I'll get there on time.
Right.
How early is that? Like how early are you there for a match? Like if your match is at 7, what time are you there?
2 p.m. If it's on the East Coast, it's 2 p.m. and then it just drops the time zone.
Huh.
So 1 p.m. Central and then 12 call. Yeah. If we're on West Coast, it's 11 a.m., which is interesting.
Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah. It's like morning.
Being there that early. It's pretty early in the day, but there's times like last week, I was supposed to have a singles match and my flight, apparently we didn't have one. So I was panicking. It was getting to the point where it looked like I was going to have to land, probably change in the car and just go straight to the ring.
Wow.
But it ended up not happening. So I was relieved at the end, but it was a bit of a panic mode.
The match didn't happen or the plane cancellation didn't happen?
The match didn't happen.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
It's being moved.
Got it. So, okay. So you're on time. Let's say you have to be somewhere at 6 p.m. How, like that morning, are you thinking, okay, that means I need to take a shower at this time. I need to leave the house by this. Like how much is everything planned out in order for you to be there at that time? Do you know ahead of time, like I want to be in the car at this time. I want to be here, X, Y, Z.
If it's an important thing, yes. If it's something that I don't really care about, I don't really give a shit. But
what did you do for this podcast? I'm just kidding.
I was here on time. I don't want to disappoint my friends. But if it's super important, then I'll be like, all right, I land at this time. I'll have to get my haircut at this time, mm-hmm. and then have to be home at this time, shower. I try to schedule out as much as possible, probably the day before, but not earlier, because then I'll just stress myself out. So my parents would be like, well, what time's your flight land? I'm like, I don't know. That's 3 days from now. I don't care.
Yeah.
I will know the night before or a couple hours before, and mm-hmm. then I'll take care of it.
I am on time to the airport. Like, I have literal nightmares about being late for a flight. Like, that is such a stressful situation.
Well, there's so many extra factors there, too, I feel like. Yeah. You never know what the lines are going to be like.
Right. And, but everything else, I'm a little bit late.
What's on time? Like, when you say you're on time, is the window wider because it's like I'm there between like 1.5 hours and 2 hours, so like it's not so specific?
Oh, yes, maybe. Yeah, because ideally 2 hours ahead of time. We have, with the kids, I'd say we've gotten it to like, it's been closer to like probably like 1 hour before, right? Or 1.5 hours before.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. But in general, like, yeah, that you're right. It's that I can't be
You're giving
precise.
It like an hour.
You got like a swing.
Yeah.
Because you hit that hour window.
I can always hit an hour window.
Yeah.
Should I do everything in my life? Like, if Owen's appointment had been like between 1 and 2, I would not have been not on time.
Right. Yeah. I've really worked at it. Mm-hmm. I was 5 minutes late today. I was pulling up and
that's why we're talking.
When you started asking about it, I was like, God damn, they noticed. I was hoping you weren't here yet. but I really try to be on time. It's something that I like have been working on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just left work late. I just blew it. Mm-hmm. And as I was leaving, I was like, shit. And it was going to have me here at 4 o'clock on the dot. And, you know, there's in LA, there's always going to be five minutes of traffic. Mm-hmm. So you just have to go, I'm going to get there 5 minutes early. Whatever the app says, you put it in maybe an hour before, whatever the app says. You go like, all right, I got to 5 minutes before that.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, you just kind of have to, I think that for me was the trick of like putting it in the map an hour before so I know roughly.
Yeah. I do a similar thing. Yeah. And I'll always leave earlier than it says that's going to take, because again, you never know, parking.
Right.
Maybe something happens in the traffic on the way. It's fine now, but maybe it won't be.
Yep.
I'm just too anxious to let any of those factors slip in.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like I always, at some point, I'm always like, oh my God, I'm making great time. I'm going to totally be early. And then
you have no sense of how long anything takes is the problem.
Wait a minute.
Well, you don't know how long it takes to get ready to leave. You don't know how long it takes to get through traffic. You don't have like that internal clock that like I'm pretty good at knowing how long it's going to take driving wise to get from a place to another place. Okay, I've lived here so long and I just know how LA traffic is. And so I'm pretty good at guessing. I'll still use Waze, but like, and so I will back now. I don't have to do as much to leave, but you have just so many fucking things you have to do before you get out the door.
Yes.
And you don't know how long any of those things take. So you're not doing that math. That's your problem.
I have to get a podcast with my wife.
It's the best. It is the best.
Look at these problems you're solving.
You'd have some closed cabinets.
Todd, it's public. I get to say it to everybody.
The thing that's stunning about this, the thing is, I don't disagree with you, but your time management skills are worse than mine, I would say.
Well, I've gotten bad. You're a bad influence.
No, last minute, they figured out how to turn it against you.
The thing I do,
who you did it?
No, the thing I do that's bad, that always kills me, because I end up being late too, is that I will look at the time and I'll go, okay, I have 3 minutes. I have 3 minutes, and then I will zone out. I'll like get into something, and that 3 minutes will go by like that. I'll look down. Oh shit! Now I'm late. That always happens.
See, I think when you look down and you say, "Oh, I have 3 minutes,"
I should just
go.
For
me too. Yes, me too.
Yes, I know.
Because today I would have been on time, but then, oh, now Wendy needs to go outside. Okay, she's got to.
It's the extra shit. It's the stuff you hadn't accounted for that gets you.
So I think we need to account. Like, you need to allow, or I need to allow 10 minutes for all that stuff or something. Because if it weren't for that stuff, then I would have been on time.
Right.
Always.
Do you know before you leave that you're late? It sounds like you think you're going to get in the car and beat the clock.
Like, no, as soon as I got in the car and I looked at, and by the way, our car clock is fast, but I'm a,
no good.
But so I just don't even, I just don't regard it, you know, but I want to adjust it, but I'm afraid if I adjust it, we're all going to be late now because we're so used to thinking that it's fast. So now we're just trapped.
We
got to get like another
clock.
We should
set it to a random time and then who the fuck knows? Then we're just, you know what I mean?
Just living by the sun.
Yeah.
No, I got in the car. Yes.
Exactly.
I got in the, people who used like a sundial, were they on time?
Yeah.
I got in the car and I put it in Waze and I'm like, oh, I'm going to be... No, that's not true. At that point, I thought I could still do it. But then when I got back in the car after picking Owen up from school, that's when I realized we're fucked.
Yeah.
In terms of 6 minutes, but...
Yeah.
Anything that involves getting the kids out the door, too, yes. is just completely... Anything goes. Who knows how long it's going to take. I'm always marveling at how long it takes us to get out the door.
It's insane.
It's crazy. Yeah. Because you could have everything together, ready to go, get in the car, and they'll just think of something that they need, and it is non-negotiable. And you must now stop everything you're doing, go back in.
I don't like the sound of that.
No. It's really...
I get moments where I'm like, I want to be a dad, and then I'm just like...
Oh, don't. No. Don't do that. It. Don't do it.
I actually hate that, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't think I would do well with that either.
So then, Tony, what's your secret to punctuality?
Anxiety.
You said anxiety. Yeah.
Because it's just a lot of... and it's not just like, I don't want to be late. It's... I think you and I have talked about this before, constantly have this fear of being yelled at.
Yep.
Does it matter who it is?
Did you have someone or something in your life that conditioned you like that?
Not that I can think of, but it is just a thing where I'm like, I can't be late. I'm going to get in trouble. Like, I feel like a little kid still. Like, I'm just like, I got to be on time or I'm going to get yelled at.
Yeah.
So no one has yelled at you about time?
Not that I can recall. Maybe I've just blocked it out. Maybe it was traumatic.
Maybe. I feel like you would know, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think so.
Huh.
Those like weird makeups that you just, like, I've said it 1,000 times, like, my therapist was like, you're a yellow lab. And I'm like, deeply yellow lab. And like, all I want is the most embarrassing realization in my life is like, all my whole goal is be a good boy. if I'm a good boy, that's the goal. And if I'm a bad boy, oh no. And in it, like, even if someone doesn't yell at me, if I know I'm not a good boy, it makes me crazy.
Yeah.
So like, that is like my whole driving force is be a good boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Yeah.
No, I'm 47. Yeah. I have a child, a career.
Yeah. I know.
What happened?
I get it. I was saying to Flo the other day, I feel like for a long time, I've never felt my age. Like, I feel like I'm either a little kid or I feel like I'm a really old person. Like, I've never felt the middle ground.
Yep. Aligned with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. And I was saying that I still have this thing where when I see on social media people hosting Thanksgiving dinner, it feels like cosplaying adults. Like, no, we're the adults now, but it still feels like we're pretending at it.
I think that's new. Like, I don't think our parents thought that.
No, because they got old fast.
At like 28. Fast.
Like, I think my grandparents, you know, pictures of them in their 20s, they look like they're in their 40s. Like, they were just so, their lives became very serious, very young. You know, maybe it was starting families, it was post-war or whatever. But it was just like, you know, very adult. Whereas I think, at least for our generation, I mean... people I know that are close to my age are going to fucking Coachella. Like, this is not a thing adults should be doing. You know what I mean? That's like for young people. It's just like totally different, you know, the way that we still play late into our lives.
It's because we get good at it. Like, our parents were like, my mom had my sister when she was 19. 19. You stop everything. You're like, stop going out, all that stuff. Like 19, like, you don't get good at being a kid because you're grown up by the time you're 20. Yeah. And like, I lived my life and messed around until I was in my 40s. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, I had a kid and like, now I'm a grown up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I assume that's what it is. Because my parents never seemed like they were like, oh, we got to be grown ups.
Yeah.
Like, I regularly am like, oh my God, I have a child who I'm responsible for.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah, my parents hosted Bridge Night. That was the way they played.
I'm looking forward to a bridge night these days. I'm like in my old age, I'm like, oh, a regular game night sounds good to me.
Does anyone here know how to play bridge?
No.
Mm-mm.
No, I don't.
with pride. Absolutely not.
I don't even actually, it's a card game, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's the extent of my knowledge of it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I even know any terms from it.
Bridge.
Bridge. Cards. Yes. Cards.
Cards.
There's, like, I've heard them before.
Yeah.
I want to say a river, but that's poker. I don't know. All I know is they had card tables. They had special bowls that came out for bridge night. They would set up the card tables. They had bowls. They would put they would put like Boston baked beans.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even old people candy.
Totally. Old people nuts.
Living the old people gimmick.
Yeah. And then I was banished to my bedroom once the fun started. There was smoking. Ooh. My mom would dress up. Yeah.
Smoking in the house?
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Like weed or
no cigarettes. Just yeah, that'd be great. Cigarettes. And then I know at the end of the night.
Are you sure?
Actually, I can't be sure, but really? I think it was cigarettes. And then at the end of the night, my mom would come in and kiss me goodnight, smelling like Virginia Slim.
Yeah,
yeah,
gross.
But I always was like, it sounded like so much fun.
Yeah.
It's just adults laughing and
just smoking inside,
eating fun snacks and things. Beans. You know, I love
cigarettes and beans. That sounds great.
Oh my God.
The classic combo.
You should review Boston baked beans.
Oh, I should.
Boston baked beans are like candy covered peanuts, right? Yeah.
Yeah. They're not bad.
Well, let's hear it again.
Bring back the beans.
They had bridge mix. There's actually a thing called bridge mix.
Right.
Tony, will you look up what it is?
Is bridge a betting game or is it just a passing the time game?
I don't know if there's actual money that you're betting for, but I feel like it involves some form of bet. And also there's like you're like taking notes. There's like I think you have a pad where you write stuff down.
I feel like I'd take up Mahjong before I did bridge. Just because it's got tiles and that's
fun. You need to have bridge partners and things.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was like swinging of partners, not actual swinging.
Oh, just swap.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh. Were your parents into that?
God, I hope not. God, I hope not.
What if this is the moment that you thought about it for the first time?
But that is the moment that I thought about it.
Oh, no. Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, no.
Well, see, okay.
She smelled like Randy's cigarettes.
Yeah.
And Uncle Randy wasn't related to us. Why was he staying over for so long?
I feel like, so my dad passed away over the summer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. But when he was alive, there was this like force field around them in terms of like, we're not going to disclose certain things. I don't even know what I mean exactly, but like, because my mom is easier to like get to break down to get to, you know, but she had my dad to protect her. In terms of my being nosy. But now that he's not around, I'm like, I can get the answers to all the things that I have wanted to ask. So I feel like, but like, I haven't wanted to, you know, but I do think this is the era where if there was swinging during bridge games, I would have access to that info.
I don't think there was.
I wouldn't want to know.
I know.
I've thought about this before because I went, I know all the crazy things that I've done, from wacky to gross to anything. Mm-hmm. And then I think about my parents, just from the stories that I know, were crazy people.
Oh, crazy like wild fun people?
Yeah, they had fun. But I'm like, I don't want to ruin the image of like my sweet mom and my crazy Italian dad. But like, I don't want to tarnish that because I know they probably did some really fucked up weird shit. And I just
anyone of a certain age lived through the 70s.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, it's like, you know, like they're the people, well, they're not around anymore who were like, they were there during the war, you know? It's like the 70s tarnished many a reputation.
Like, but do you think they feel guilty though? Because I feel like when I have a child and they're going to look at me that way, but I know all the stuff that I've done, like, will I feel guilt about that?
I don't know.
This beacon of perfection that they think I am.
Guilt as much as, because the calculation that I'm always doing is, if they know that, then they'll think it's okay for them to do that. And I don't want them to get into whatever that is before they're ready, or maybe not at all. So therefore, I don't want, it's like, I think it's the idea that if they know that you fell from grace in X, Y, you know, in whatever way, then that will give them a green light. That's what I'm always thinking. It's not really guilt. The guilt that I have over things is more just my own guilt, because I'm also a yellow lab. Mm-hmm. So I also want to be a good boy. So it's that's just guilt over not having been perfect, you know. But I don't think I feel guilt where my kids are concerned about it.
My dad, who was a hippie, late 60s, early 70s, from what I understand, was, you know, did all the kinds of drugs that one would do as a hippie. And he, to this day, refuses to admit that he's done anything at all. And it's like, I'm fucking 50 years old, Dad. Like, you can be honest with me about what you do. But he didn't want me, I think he didn't want me to think that it's okay to do what he did. But in a way, but you're not going to, like...
Right, you're not going to go experiment.
I'm not going to do it because you did it. You know, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it either way.
But also, you're 50 if you did it.
Well, but I mean, like, it's continuing with the ruse that's the weird part.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I haven't asked him in a decade, but maybe he would be honest with me now. But still, it was always funny to me because it's like, I know what you did, Dad. I do have a mom who will tell me everything, so I know. But he just lies to my face.
I would love, my parents are the most straight-laced. They did nothing. Like I said, my mom had my sister, they got married when she was 18 and had my sister when she was 19. Like, they were very straight-laced.
Was your dad young also?
My dad was young too. And they, like, my dad was a minister of music at a church, and that's what he did for his entire career. Like, he did not live it up. Neither of them did. So their story is very bland. Mm-hmm. My kingdom for my parents to like get into drugs. Like, I would love to like eat mushrooms with my parents. But I
really?
But I would hate to eat mushrooms with my daughter. Like, the idea of like someday her getting older, I understand that sensation of like, sure, she'll be older, but it'll always be like, oh, it's so weird. Like, there's like that relationship. I don't know what it is about it, but like, as much as I'm like, oh man, it'd be awesome to do that with my parents, to share that experience with them would be, but like, I would never do that with Sam. So I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah.
When they're older, I mean, you know, when they're much older, obviously, I mean, not now, they're 7 and 5. I think I'd be okay with certain things.
Doing mushrooms with them?
Maybe. I mean, mushrooms are pretty harmless. Mushrooms aren't like, it's not like LSD. I wouldn't do LSD again, but it's like, mushrooms are fine. Pot, fine. You know, it's not that much worse than getting, you know, having a few too many drinks. So I guess I would. I wouldn't seek it out.
Right.
I mean, I have smoked weed with my mom.
Yeah?
What?
Yeah.
How am I only... You know, I'm still annoyed at your
this is a long time ago, too.
Of my time management. I just have to let you know. Yeah. I love you. But wait, how have I never heard about you smoking pot with your mom? Please tell me everything.
Because what's there to tell? I mean, I was...
That you smoked pot with your mom?
No, well, I think I had come home from college, and they were... My mom and my stepdad are artists, and they were in the studio, and I went in there, I think, and there was a joint, and he was like, here, you want... I don't think my mom was thrilled about it, to be fair to her. And I was like, sure. I didn't even want any, but I was like, I'm going to have this experience so I can say I've smoked weed around my parents or my mom. And that was it. Nothing. I mean, we got a little high. It was like, I guess I'm an adult now.
My dad, he's probably gonna kill me if he hears this, but my dad got into my edibles and didn't know they were edible.
Oh no!
Because I left them out. They don't look like they just look like candies.
Sure.
And I came back.
How many did he? Oh no!
I think there was 4 or 5 left, which I would equate to, I think, 40 or 50 milligrams. And I saw the wrapper was in the garbage, and I was like, "What happened here?" And I was like, "Mom, like." did you throw him out? He goes, oh no, your father ate him. I was like, what? I was like, where is he?
What was he doing?
I went upstairs and I found him in the kitchen, has like tears in his face, hysterically laughing, buttering bread, going, this is the best bread I've ever had in my entire
life. So wait,
life.
Did he know at that time? Like, or was he just thinking like, I am just having a great day?
I mean, he knew at that point because, yeah. You know, I guess I leave stuff laying around a lot. But it was great because I've been wanting to do that with him for a while.
Awesome.
And we stayed up to like 2 or 3. He laughed, and I tell you, probably for a good 4 or 5 hours at everything.
Oh, it was
fantastic. That's amazing.
One of my favorite memories. I mean, I have a ton of favorite memories, but this one stands out as the most recent favorite memory that I've had with him.
That's amazing.
That's pretty amazing. A famous story on the show is that Daniel accidentally ate a pot cookie.
Yeah.
He told me.
It fucking fucked me up so much.
And I think it was only 10 milligrams.
But
he told me that cookie tasted weird. It tasted like rosemary, lavender or something. You thought it was a weird herb. And then I looked in the trash and saw the wrapper said what it was. And I came in and I'm like, it tasted weird because it was a pot cookie. And he was laying on the ground. And he's like, or maybe, no, you were sitting on the couch at that point. You're later.
I had been staring at my phone for an hour, like,
oh,
and I looked up and I was like,
"Why I'm so out of it?"
Oh wow!
Shit. Yep. It was.
Remember, I accidentally got high coming here before.
Oh yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. How did that happen? CBD oil?
Yeah, like something. I was like really sore or something, and I was like, I remembered I had this CBD stuff, so I was like, I'll try that. It doesn't usually work for me, but I'll try it. And then I was almost here. In the car, and then I was like, oh, I don't think that was just CBD.
Wait, the oil can like soak in and make you stoned?
Yeah. I mean, it was like the like tincture or whatever. You just, you know, drop it on your tongue.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I thought it was like you were rubbing it on your muscles. Oh, yeah. I was like, wow, that's incredible.
No, it took a little while. And
well,
then,
they have bombs.
Yeah. But like
you get rolling on, and then, yeah.
You really get high from it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know that either.
I can't do any marijuana, and I there was a time when I was like, I'm gonna get good at marijuana. Like, I think I'm gonna really like weed, and I like tried some. I just I've had like one good experience and 6 not great experiences.
I'm kind of the same. It doesn't. So I wonder sometimes if it affects people differently because I have friends 100%. That are like, yeah, because I have friends that are like the first time they smoked it, it's like, where have you been all my? This is the real me. I want to be this way all the time. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's just always like, oh, I don't know if I like this feeling. Yeah, just hallucinating the Grim Reaper and shit. Yeah. You know, just like fuck this.
I'm anxious enough on my own.
Yeah. So it's. I don't know.
I never even tried any pot until I was in my 30s. And
wow.
Yeah, it was very late to it. And then when I started, I remember getting high one night, and I was laying on the couch watching Comedy Bang Bang. I'd like put it on Netflix or whatever, and was laying there watching it. And I was, after a little bit, I was like, I feel like I've been doing this for a while. I should probably go to bed. And I paused it, and I'd been watching for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So oh, I think I might leave mushrooms around my parents. Maybe they'll eat some on accident. I'm going to dose them. I don't do mushrooms
a lot.
How
many times?
I've only done it a few times.
Never done it.
Twice, but I after I did it, I was like, oh, this is the one that I'm like,
yeah,
connect to.
Yeah,
I growing up super Christian, all of it was like getting drunk was so evil and drugs are so evil, and you get like build up this like, oh my god, like getting drunk must feel crazy. And then the first time I got drunk, I was like, this does not justify the level of terror I have lived in about alcohol my whole life. Like, it's not even great. And then like same, I was like, weed will be, and I smoked like same in my 30s. Mm-hmm. I smoked weed and I was like, this is just not, it's nothing. It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your brain is a little different. It's just so minor. And like, so when I did mushrooms and it like so shifts your brain, I was like, this is the thing that the devil wants to get me for. Like, let's go. Yeah. It's so, like, if I'm going to go to hell, this is the one. So, it's such a good, and I also, again, it was like in my 40s. So it was like, it's such a good reset. like it wasn't like for fun and like hanging with friends or whatever. It was like, I mean, it was for fun, but it wasn't
like it was therapeutic.
Yeah, it was like, it was wonderful. And it was like for a month or two afterwards, like it shifted. It wasn't on just on the day. It was like shifted my thinking afterwards. And yeah, it's like, it's such a gift. Like I'm like, yeah. I'm like way overdue for it. My second one was a little bit challenging, but it was like, still, it was like, you know, it just like resets. It resets how you think about things.
Challenging in what way?
We were in a spot where I was like, kind of like there were people around that I didn't know, and I was just like, I'm not comfortable with this, and it threw my brain around.
Were you in public?
We were at my friend's beach house.
Okay.
And so, which was great, but it was there were other people that ended up on the beach, and it was just like, I did not want to have an interaction with another person. It just threw my brains. But then after, like on the come down, it was really great and lovely, and
then for like a month after, you feel,
yeah, you're like, it just gives you the opportunity to like recognize that everything is your brain taking in the information and making a decision about it. You know, it's not, everything is not so hard and fast what you think it is right away. Mm-hmm. And it just gives you the freedom to think a little clearer about those things. Maybe not the best description, but that's what it felt like.
I think it's accurate.
Yeah. I was sitting on my couch, and I was like looking at the ceiling, or like looking at our room, and I was like, God, this room is so big. Like it really feels big. And it felt
so, it gives
enormous.
You like really important insights.
It would change my life. Well, but then like a few minutes later, I was like, God, it's so small and cozy in here. But it was enough to, it really felt that way. Mm-hmm. Obviously the room's the same, but like what it made me realize is like my brain is interpreting it as whatever the story I'm telling about it. Yeah. And in the world is that way, you know, that we are angry or happy or sad or based on the story we're telling about the thing we're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And we're responsible to some degree for what we bring to the table on those things. So seeing that was like really mind shifting for me.
Have you done it since you had a daughter?
Yeah.
You have. Okay. Cause that's my thing is like, I mean, I've been saying like I want to try it for so long, but just the mechanics of with children, how, you know, and also like, will I be and obviously I would not do it when I'm around them. I would, you know, like when your mom's here or something, 100%. But like, am I going to be worried about it the whole time? You know,
our daughter was with my in-laws, and so she was totally taken care of. We you know, it, nothing could be bad.
Right.
So it was great. Yeah. Yeah, just having it set up, you're not thinking about it.
Yeah.
One of the things I like about mushrooms, too, is that it doesn't tempt you to do it. You know, it's like one of those things you'll do every now and then. There's not like any kind of like habitual use of it, because it's just it's more, you know, it's not something you're going to want to be on all the time.
Yeah. It's a reset button. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I feel like I can be addictive compulsive about anything, though.
Probably.
I don't know. That's it. It's weird. It really puts your brain so far out of the world that it is not a thing that you're like, I got to do that again tomorrow. Like you really like kind of, you got to chew on it a little bit.
I always marveled when I was back, you know, like waiting tables and stuff. There were guys that worked there that would do acid like every weekend.
God almighty.
Every weekend.
Yeah. They were always taking acid. Oof. I was always like, how the fuck are you?
Did acid and then like went to his court date.
What?
That's so insane. It's
that
so
guy
crazy
loves
to me.
Jail.
Yes.
Yeah. That is tempting fate, isn't it? I never got it. I
imagine hallucinating and like at your trial.
No.
That would be insane.
Talk about a bad trip.
Oh my God.
I know.
Actually, speaking of hallucinating, this question, Tony.
Hmm.
If you were at an AEW show and Judas started playing, and you were expecting Chris Jericho, but it was actually Todd. How long would it take for you to know the difference? Because I swear, I thought for a second, like, you look like Chris.
Interesting. I've never had that thought, but I can see it now that you're saying it.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho?
Yeah.
I think I've heard that before. I think I've gotten that before. Yeah.
You actually have his mannerisms, too.
Really?
Yeah. Like, speaking into the mic. Yeah. It's actually kind of crazy. Think about it.
Take the glasses off.
All right.
Is that
for the listener,
Jericho?
I made a very silly face.
I still see it.
Yeah. Yes, it's totally that. You have his eyes.
Yeah.
His like upper face.
The other one I get is Chris Cooper. I have Chris Cooper's eyes.
I see that actor. Too.
Yeah, all the Chris's.
Any Chris. Yeah. Jericho, Cooper.
That's the big two.
Rock. The big two. Maybe I should have been a professional wrestler. I'm blowing it.
Why don't you try out some moves on him right now?
No, I don't want that.
Give you a nice chop.
I know. I did almost want to suggest that as a segment.
No, sure.
Allison was like, if you haven't do any segments since you're booking these shows, I was like, I kind of want to have Bowen's chop everyone.
I did that last week? I did a tour of the, it's called Victus Sports. They make baseball bats and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And evidently a lot of the workers there are wrestling fans. Every one of them wanted to be chopped. It's like, are you sure you want me to do this?
I think it's a morbid fascination, because I definitely have a morbid fascination with it. I let Flo do it to me before. I was like,
Is chopped? Is that where you pass out?
He'll explain it better than me.
It's like you five-star somebody's chest, mm-hmm. like smack them as hard as you can.
Yeah, can't someone actually get a heart attack that way?
I suppose. It's never happened.
Okay.
I mean,
warning.
Stay tuned.
I'm trying to chop on the other pack.
Oh, okay.
To try and stay away
so
from
it. So it's not in the middle of the heart.
No. But people want it to, in Japan, it's like a thing of honor. Like if there's a Japanese legend, like people will line up for hours just for the opportunity
to be chopped.
To be chopped, because it's this big honor to do it, and they like just eat it. But they all ate it, and I was like, do you want to do the shirtless, or they all opted to keep the shirt on because it stings, obviously. But then they pull it up, and their chest is just still completely red. So I wonder what it would look like if I usually I leave like fingerprints in the chest.
So you flat hand and then
just rear back and.
You hit him with a flat,
yes, flat
hand, though.
Right across the chest. Wow.
Can I just tell you that I haven't watched wrestling since I was a kid, but just right now, when you leaned over to show in a slow motion pattern or fashion how it would look, I was like, oh, wow, that guy's a wrestler. Like, it looked like something. Like, it's different than me doing this. Like, I was like, holy shit, that guy knows how to do this.
Well, it's form to it, I suppose.
It was incredible. Wow. I know that's really dumb, but I was like, oh.
So Flo has done this to you?
Yeah, I asked her to.
Didn't she want to be a wrestler for a little while?
She briefly trained. Yeah.
Really?
Wait, what? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Have you met
but
Flo?
She blew,
yeah,
she,
yeah. Right, yeah.
She blew her knee out, though, pretty early on, and so that put
Where'd
an end to
train?
That. Was that when she was in Colorado? Because she grew up in Colorado. I can't remember if it was when she lived in Colorado or when she lived in Jersey. But it was like, and it was more recent than I thought, also. It was like 7 years ago or something like that. Yeah, so she did. I don't think she got too far because of the knee thing, but yeah, I just talked about that, my morbid fascination with it. I was like, I just want to like see how bad it stings.
Did it hurt?
I mean, it didn't feel great.
Yeah,
but I mean, a lot worse from him.
Why do people have more of a fascination with that move than other ones? Because there's so many other things that could be done to you, right?
I think maybe for me anyways, I think it's just like all I have to do is stand there. I mean, yeah, it's probably gonna hurt, but like I don't have to like know anything, I guess.
I think it's the easiest thing to like, you don't want to get punched in the face, obviously, so also you can't get slammed, I guess, on the concrete where they're standing, so it's just the
right.
easiest. It's like, hey, chop my chest. And I think people are obsessed with Ric Flair too, and mm-hmm. Flair, the only thing he really did was chop people and go woo. So I think it's that plays
people
into it a little
still
bit.
Obsessed with Ric Flair.
Yeah. He's with us.
Yeah,
he's
wow.
He's not wrestling, but he's a part of it. Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, he does some physical activity.
Yeah,
he tried.
Yeah.
I was at Starrcade 88, so I'm not sweating.
That's right.
Were you really?
I was.
What's
yep,
that?
In Norfolk, Virginia. It's a wrestling match. It was like
Steamboat. Was that him and Flair there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah,
it was an old WCW, that old wrestling company, their pay per view they used to do.
It was fun. I went to a few.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's
great.
It was a lot. It was a lot of fun.
So, who were the guys that you were into?
Oh, Sting was my guy. Sting, and I mean, Ric Flair was like, it was like already kind of older at that point. Mm-hmm. And then Lex Luger was really cool.
I think he was also working with Sting.
What's this?
I said Sting was also he just retired.
Really? Is he still great?
He's a great guy too.
Is he?
He seems like he's one of those examples of like. People say, like, don't meet your heroes because they're usually going to let you down. Yeah. He, in no way, shape, or form, ever ever let me down. I've told this story before. I've cried in his face right after we had the match. I was just like, I can't believe I wrestled you and you're as cool as you are, and just thank you for the opportunity. I just started like, ah. He was probably like, get this fucking kid out of here. But he's a really cool dude, and he just retired at the last pay-per-view, and that was a special night. And
yeah, it was really cool
to share that with him.
That was a really fun show. Yeah.
That's first cool many thing. Times I heard Sting, I probably heard the reference on Hey EW, and I was like, why are they talking about the singer? I did not, like, I'd never heard of Sting the Wrestler.
The, like, as vast difference as possible.
It was so between confusing. The two men. It was so confusing.
Beyond the field. And smack.
All right, let's do Just Me or Everyone.
Sometimes I ponder on something I have thought or done. Is it just me or everyone?
All right, Todd, do you happen to have one?
I got one. Well, this is less. I know this is not everyone. This is. I think this is. I'm a weird guy.
It could also be called I'm a weird guy. That could be the name of this.
So a few years ago, I started this thing. You know about this, I think. I think we've talked about this on our podcast. I started buying socks. I will go to the store and buy all my socks, like black socks, three packages. One, like, and I throw all my socks away and I start fresh. That way, there's always a match. You never have to be like, does this one match that one? They're all even same brand bought a little bit apart. There's like different wear levels, which is a drag. And then you're like, well, I got a stiffer foot than the other one.
Yeah.
So I
have that right now.
Huh. It's the worst.
I have one stiff foot. Yeah. I've got matching socks, but one is from a new, you know, order and it's all supple.
You got it. You got to throw them all out.
Yeah.
You start. Initially, there's a little bit of a cost. You're gonna do about $26, but then if you buy a 12 pack, but then once you're in, you just rotate them all and you do it all at once. It's the best.
Sorry, how often do you do this?
I do it. Ooh, sorry, I dropped my phone. I do it maybe like once every 2 years.
Oh, okay.
So I do it pretty regularly. Like, I don't like a crusty sock. Right? Once it starts getting kind of chunky and crusty, I'm out.
Chunky.
Is this normal?
Maybe my washing machine is broken.
Yeah.
You know, you put the cottage cheese in there, all the stuff. All the normal stuff.
At what point are you bummed out by your socks condition?
I'll say that I go a lot longer with them than I would like to. Mm-hmm. I would probably do it every year. If I lived my dream of dreams, I would probably do it every 6 months. But yeah,
I feel like you could probably.
You could get away with it. It's like 26. It's not that expensive.
Right.
But it is, when I figured it out, my wife makes fun of me for it because it's very like type A to be like so specific about it. But it is, I'll tell you, it's so easy. I never match socks. I just grab one and fold them together. I don't have to think about it. Pretty great.
I don't do that, although I really like it. Yes. I really like this idea.
I do too.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not bad.
But
you're all right, kid.
I'm a good boy. I'm a good boy.
I recently learned about not having all these like crazy fun pattern socks for your kids, which means sorting through laundry and trying to find two matching tiny socks and just getting all the same socks for the kids, which is what I'm going to do going forward.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Socks should just be one color.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you don't mind not being able to find the other one.
For most of my life growing up, it was only like just white socks. I think I only ever had white gym socks as a kid. And then at some point in my life, it was like colors and patterns entered. And then now it's just a fucking mess. It's just a circus in there. I got to go back to basics.
Throw them all out.
Yeah.
It's very, you're going to feel like a new man.
This is changing my life because I go crazy because I have a whole sock drawer and the whole drawer is filled with socks, all of it. And they're all different types of socks. And I I have a discarded or my lonely sock bag, which is just the little stragglers that I can't find the match for.
Mm. And you keep it in case you find the match?
In case I find them. Sometimes they'll pop up in like, instead of the colored clothing, that they're in the white and gray side, or maybe it's under the bed, and I
like
get them back
sock
together.
Orphanage.
Yes, it's a sock orphanage. And for some reason, I haven't been smart enough to solve the problem getting rid of them. Yeah. I never thought of it. What a concept.
Does it feel wasteful?
Yeah. The first time,
not all of them are chunky crusty, right?
No, the first time it feels like a, kind of a drag, but you got to pay the price. That's part of it.
Yeah.
You got, if you keep one because you're like, this one's still good, you're not doing the thing. You gotta do the thing.
Right, the discipline.
Gotta dig in. Go full bore.
I mean, I have like weird emotional attachments to certain socks.
I like that I'm being all hardline about socks. I don't feel this intense about it, but I like being like, absolutely. what emotional attachments to certain socks?
How does that work?
I don't know. I just like, there's a lot of socks in my sock drawer that I won't wear because they're not comfortable, but like I can't throw them out. I don't, and I need to just do a heart. I need to take shrooms and then clean my sock.
Heart reset.
If the socks know in advance that it's only a 2-year relationship,
that's what I'm saying.
I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, you just let them know.
If I know in advance, well, and also if I inform the socks,
that's shitty to the socks if you don't tell them.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Right.
They think it's for life.
You and me, buddy, we're going to do this together.
Right. All the way to the end. That's good, though. You probably don't even form attachments to your socks.
Zero attachment, because guess what? That one looks just like the other 5 to 10 in the drawer. It's fine.
Do you mean you just don't want to throw them out, or like you literally mean like, oh, these are the socks that I wore at... I was going to say prom. That's the worst.
Ah, yes, your prom socks. Well, don't throw away your prom socks.
Yeah, you got to keep your prom socks.
My prom socks are in my album. But yes, no, okay. I have a stark memory of being at my parents' house and going to throw away a light blue ankle sock and being like, I can't do it. I can't say goodbye to this sock, even though it's just the only one I have now because I threw out the other one. Like, it's, oh, I can't.
At least there's only one and you still won't throw
this
it
was
out?
Years ago.
Okay. But is it like you thought, if I throw this away, then I'm going to find the other one and it's going to be, where's my brother? And then you have to break it to them?
One time I was eating chicken.
Uh huh.
And
great start.
I wasn't expecting that start.
And I was like, this chicken might have been somebody's mother. And I got really sad. Oh. And
I've thought of that before.
You have.
But I ate it.
Yeah. No.
I got over it very quickly.
I continued. But I associate that. I feel like that was around the same time as the sock. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I have too many emotions about everything. Everything is like so I'm not in that state of mind anymore. But I just know that I have a lot of trouble throwing things out. Like I have the making, I could totally be a hoarder. So I just think
could be
like when I go to put my clean socks in the sock drawer, I have to cram them in and then push it closed because there's just layers of socks that I and underwear that I never wear anymore. And I cannot get rid of it though because it's perfectly good.
Sounds but great. I can see why you wouldn't get rid of things.
I need to do the Todd method.
What if you found like crafts for the boys that use old like puppets?
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you could like cut the foot off and make them like armbands, whatever it is that you can do, like make them something for a minute, find a path.
I think I just need to thank them for their service. And get rid of them.
Oh, Marie Kondo stuff.
I like to use the stuff for rags and stuff too, you know? So like just rip them and then you can, because you always need something to when you're doing projects.
I was actually trying to get rid of some old clothes recently. And then Daniel's like, what are you doing? Why are you throwing away perfectly good clothes? And I'm like, because they don't fit anymore. I'm never going to wear them and no one would want them. And then he wanted to keep them for rags, which is fine. But I'm just saying, stood in the way of me trying to get rid of stuff.
You say that like it's about, you were going to throw it away. That I put it to productive use.
This is true. Bones, do you have a Just Me or Everyone?
I'm sure I'm going to remember one as I'm driving home.
Okay.
But usually it's the, when I'm showering, the toilet seat has to be down.
Oh, this is an excellent Just Me or Everyone because it's so weird and particular.
I just don't, I feel like whatever was in that toilet is wafting up into the air and I don't feel clean. Like if I'm in a shower, I want to feel squeaky clean, especially if I know somebody just like took a big dump or something. And it's just like, I want the aromas of the soap. I don't want like any leftover shit scent coming up
or any
of the particles that might be splashing around. I don't know. It makes me feel really weird if I see the toilet up. Because there's been times before I was showering and like someone will come and use, like my mom or my Michael or something comes in, like use the bathroom real quick. And then I look out and I'm like, the toilet seat's up. Like, get back and close it.
Wait, your mom's coming in and using the bathroom while you're in the shower?
She's done that before, yes.
Like, what ages are we talking about?
Whenever.
Okay.
If she's got to go, she's got to go. Yeah, this is like when I'm back home in Jersey.
Okay, yes, this makes sense.
Wouldn't be able to do it in my bathroom currently because it's glass.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking old school. Yeah. You can't see what's on the other side. Right. So I'm like, you know, you, as long as you're not like blasting away in there, just pee and get out.
I don't have that with the toilet seat, but I could see it. Mm-hmm. No, and in fact, because I spend too much time on TikTok, I feel like on TikTok there's a lot of like, you should always close the toilet lid when you flush, because when you flush, it like can push stuff into
see?
The air.
There you go.
And I'm talking pee. I don't always do that. And I'm like, I'm just probably huffing my own pee.
And then what?
I don't know. Yeah,
your whole life you have been.
I know. I don't exactly. You're right. I never thought about the and then what.
What if I shut the lid and I got real strong? That was the problem.
Maybe.
This whole time I was sniffing my own pee.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, that's
probably. It'll kill you.
It'll kill you. That's probably what it is.
That's probably what it is.
Now I know.
What's the toothbrush? How does that fit into this?
What toothbrush?
I mean, like, where do you keep your toothbrush? Like, can the toilet seat be up if the, you know, assuming you keep your toothbrush in the bathroom?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've actually never.
Well, now he's.
I think you just added it to the list of things. I'm gonna make.
I'm sorry.
Problem. I'm just thinking about all those toothbrushes that had the particles on it. Actually, when I was back home last in Jersey, she had my mom had these like little holders, but had what do you call them?
Covers. Lids?
Covers. There we go. Had covers over the top of them. So I don't think we have to worry about it in that household.
All right.
But when I get home today,
just wondered.
I've also recently, get this, I have a Sonicare and it has that little cap on it. I've recently started not immediately replacing the cap because I realized it's never drying thoroughly. Mm-hmm. And I don't want a wet breeding ground.
Yeah.
But now I'm leaving it susceptible to toilet regurgitation.
Can you put it in the mirror? Do you have a mirror that opens up?
I do.
Great song.
But
yes.
Given how my sock drawer is, do you think there's room medicine cabinet
not a
for
chance.
A toothbrush?
Medicine cabinet is the name of it. That's right.
It is a medicine cabinet.
Not
yeah.
in the mirror, yeah.
Well,
I looked at Daniel and he looked at me like, Alice in Wonderland, what happened over there?
Through the mirror.
Just
yeah,
put
she
it
reaches
in.
Through.
Oh, that'd be neat. If you could just if that yes, they would. Should make a medicine cabinet where when you go to put it in, another hand comes out and takes it.
Well, if you take shrooms,
we can get you there.
We can get you through that mirror.
Does anyone else have a toilet needs to be closed before doing other stuff? Thing like Bowen's.
No, I don't think so.
No. Although I do need the bedroom door to be closed when I go to sleep.
Yes. I don't need. I don't.
I don't
have
like.
That.
I don't like to go to sleep and have the dark room. Like it just makes me feel like I'm being watched or something.
Mm. I can agree with that.
Yeah. So
does it bother you? Because sometimes I'll get up and I'll leave it open
yes,
a little
it does.
Bit.
Sometimes I'll get up and close it.
I'm glad you're letting me know now.
Well, only if I'm about to go to bed.
Right.
But then you know, inevitably, you get up 15 times during the night and it's
true.
Open. So I don't care then because I'm asleep. But if I'm going to sleep, it needs to be closed.
Even though our kids are up the hall.
Yeah, listen, it's every man for himself. That's bad, you know what I mean? Like,
because that is why
we're teaching
open.
Them karate. Like they're getting, you know.
Oh my God! The best thing happened. So Elliot is taking karate, and I don't know where he learned the hand jive. I think as part of like the drama class that he's, you know, the hand jive, like. That thing. So he showed Owen the hand jive, and Owen goes, "Did you learn that from karate?"
Yeah, he doesn't know.
Yeah. It does feel like it. Sam just took her first karate class on
Thursday. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. She hates it.
Oh,
really?
The teacher, our sitter was like, "How would you describe that teacher?" Because the teacher was like super intense.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, She's like, how would you describe her in one world word? And she goes, evil. So, yeah, I don't know how long she is for the karate world.
Daniel takes Elliot, but there's the, they stream it live on YouTube, like just for the parents, so you can watch it.
They won't
it.
Let you in, the parents, into the dojo, but you can watch.
But they seem pretty intense there, too, though. And I was watching, and I'm thinking, like, I wonder if, how Elliot feels about this. Because
he loves it.
I mean, that's great, but they are strict. Yeah. And also, there's like, seems like there's like eight teachers.
They have all the different belt groups doing it all at the same time. And so it's, you've got different teachers like leading each group.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then also, do you guys have a Podcast Pal product pick?
Podcast Pals product picks.
Oh, we got, remember, Todd, last time you recommended those e-cloths?
Yeah.
I got them. I haven't used them yet, but I have them ready to go.
You're going
to
be pumped.
I also got one, excited. And I got to tell you.
Didn't work for you?
No.
Didn't what? Work for
me. Is that true?
What? Yeah.
What were you trying to clean with it?
Our dishwasher and then also like the hood of our above our oven.
Oh, yeah. You're not supposed to.
If it's oily. If it's there like, if oily? There's like oily. If there's like oil spots on it, it'll, you can't get, the, like that's hard to, if it's stained or whatever, it's hard, but it like, try like your screen, like your computer screen, glasses, mirrors, glass.
Don't tell me what to do.
You'll do it.
All right.
All right. But I'm sorry that it didn't work. Listeners.
You should be. I'm going to invoice you.
Listeners, don't buy it. I don't know.
Wait, no. Do buy it.
Do buy it.
No, I hope. I'm glad it works for you.
We bought a whole set.
Yeah, they come in like 100 packs or whatever.
No, like a bunch of different
sizes and the, yeah.
I'm telling you, like, it, for, like, I do my glasses, like, I do, anything glass or glass or, yeah, I don't know.
Or glass.
Or glass. I guess just glass. Bye. I answered my, yeah, the stainless steel in my, I know what you're talking about. If you get, like, little spots of oil, I read, by the way, the fix to that is to rub the whole thing down with oil. Essentially, you stain the whole thing.
Oh, it's like Can't Buy Me Love.
So,
do you remember the movie?
No, I remember that it exists. Oh wait, no,
she
I did just watch it.
She has like this white leather jacket,
filmed in Tucson, by the way.
And she spills wine on it, and I think one of the options is like to dye the whole thing purple.
That's right. Yeah, so Can't Buy Me Love style.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Why did everybody look at me? All of a sudden, everyone just turned to look.
Well, because you're going to be oiling down your entire dishwasher, evidently.
All right, sounds like a hell of a night.
Yes. Okay. Bowens or Todd, do you have a product to recommend to the listeners?
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And usually they have to pay me handsomely to endorse a product. Mm. But I have been in love with this product since I was in high school. And it is a chocolate factory that is based out of Pennsylvania. And they usually only have it, it seems to only pop up in like the tri-state area. It's Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, that kind of range. It's called Gertrude Hawk Chocolate.
I've never even heard of it.
I think it is the best chocolate. As you hear my accent, chocolate. on the planet, because people go for Godiva and there's Hershey's and stuff like that, but it's just, they used to, they're very big in schools where like the programs would do fundraisers and go around selling the chocolate bars. That's where I first had it, and I was like, this is, it's just fantastic, and I swear by it. I won't, other than maybe like M&M's or Snickers, I won't have any other chocolate brands.
What is Gertrude
Hawk Chocolate?
That's so interesting, because I've seen those bars that like are sold as school fundraisers, and I've never thought they were good. They must not have been Gertrude Hawk.
They were not Gertrude.
Yeah. Milk or dark or both?
I'm not a fan of dark chocolate.
I'm not either.
But I hear very good things about it. I've tried a number of different things. Milk chocolate's my main thing.
Okay.
But they have a lot of different types of chocolate there, and I think they're great.
Where do you come down on white chocolate?
Take it or leave it.
But you don't like dark chocolate.
I do not like it. It's too bitter for me.
Same.
If I'm eating that, I want it to be sweet. I want the sugar.
Yeah.
And
I want that rush.
Yeah. If you're going for it.
All right. Gertrude Hawk Chocolate. Thank you. Excellent, Todd.
Okay. I have a bunch of them, but I'll go. Some of them are really broad. Can I just say, I know you probably have a lot of like progressive style listeners, but I have to say, an electric car is as good as it gets. I'm deeply on board. It's green, it's all the stuff, whatever. But like from a car ownership standpoint, if you're looking for a car, not going to the gas station is such a gift.
I would like that, yeah.
Like, just getting in the car, like, I have an electric car for 6 years now, and I still feel like I'm getting away with something when I, my wife drives the electric, and I have a gas-powered, and when I have to get gas, it is a drag.
Yeah.
You realize that what a pain in the ass it is once you don't have to do it with one of them. Deeply, all the green, whatever, you know, you can say whatever you want about batteries are bad for the earth, all that stuff. Like, it's all bad for the earth, but from an E standpoint. I just got this thing from my garage. I like techie, geeky, dumb shit. I just got a thing from my garage that it works even on old garage door openers. You can attach, called a Meross, I think MEROSS. You attach it in, wire it in, and you can control it from your phone.
Oh,
and regularly, that's nice. I'm like, did I close the garage? And I can just look at my app, and it's like, you did, or you didn't.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's really nice.
And I can get home and go, Siri, open the garage door, and it will. And I feel very fancy.
That is really cool.
That sounds like a good argument also for one of those e-locks. You know, you can. So for people who are like, oh shit, did I lock the door? You could just look and lock the door from your phone.
I have one of those on one of my doors. It's pretty great.
That's a keyless lock.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. I do that for like sometimes if a babysitter is coming or picks up our daughter from school or whatever, I don't have to like put a key around, like a hide a key. I can open it from my phone.
Nice.
What kind of security do they have around that, just in case like your phone gets?
That's this a good is what question. I'm always worried about.
I mean, I don't know. Like,
I think there actually is a key you can use on it, right?
Yeah, the one I have also has a key. But to your point, though, like, I don't know, like. There's a piece of me that's like, I'm so fucked if my phone gets hacked because like everything's in there. My credit card's in there. I mean, it's just like my photos of my ID, like my whole world's in there. So it's like, I don't know. I haven't got that's the right question that a grown up person would ask, but I don't know.
See, the people letting him know that his mole is benign via postcard.
Yep.
They
got it dialed in.
Yeah.
You wonder if there's a hack. Like, I heard that they were stealing cars by, they would have these amplifiers. Mm-hmm. And so if you have your fob inside, it could amplify that signal so that the car thinks that the fob is next to it and it could start up.
Yep.
Oh.
Right. So they just get near your house and just boost that signal.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyone who's looking to steal a car,
get a fob amplifier.
But that's with a fob is like a different technology.
No, I know, but I'm just saying the clever ways that they can think to get around something that I couldn't think of.
Also,
the baddies.
On that door where I have one, it's a door that has like, you know, wood with like glass. They could also just smash a window. Like, well, I'm like
go old school, right?
Yeah. Like, let's go. Well, get in there.
That reminds me, when we first moved in to the house or near that time, we would put the front door key in a dish that's really close to the front door, and I always thought, boy, you know, they could just break in and get the front key, the key to the front door, and it's like, but then they've already broken in.
Yeah.
Why would they give a shit about the key at that point, you dumbass? Like,
cut out the middleman.
Right. Like, oh, we've got it. And then they come back out of the broken window and then they let themselves in.
Yeah.
I have one. It's not as fancy as an electric car or regional chocolate, but this pen that I'm using, Pentel Energel Liquid Gel Ink. Bowens, do you also enjoy this pen?
No, but I have a specific pen that I do enjoy.
Oh, I want to hear what yours is. Yeah. Okay, so I like the 0.5.
Is it Energel? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And I don't really know what makes it Energel, but, you know, maybe a year
caffeine
ago.
Caffeine in it.
Yeah. My hand just is so peppy. But a year ago or so, I said, I need to up my pen game. Yeah. And so I tried a few different types. People are very particular about pens. Someone warned me this one can leak. I don't know if they warned me or if I read it on like Reddit, some pen Reddit or something. But anyway, because I think that exists. But
I'm sure.
I haven't had this experience of the pen leaking yet. But this is my go-to pen right as of now.
May I give it a try real
quick?
Yeah,
sure.
Because I'm going to see if it rivals
your favorite?
My favorite pen.
I don't know why I clicked that for you. Let's see. Assume you do know how to use a pen.
I do. Man, I'd love a good pen.
No good.
Boom.
No good. Shots fired.
Oh, my God. What do you like?
Right away.
I just pulled it up. It is the Uniball Impact RT.
Oh, can I see that?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been...
Oh my God.
Actually, funny enough, I've been exclusively using this pen since college.
Really? Oh.
It looks so much like this. This is a poor... Mine is a poor man's Uniball.
I'll tell you what. The next time I swing by, because I have a box of them at home, I will bring you an Impact RT.
Okay.
And I'll also bring the title. So those are, please remind me. Impact RT and title.
Now, are you like at a point... Are you a 0.5? Are you a 0.7?
This appears to be 1 millimeter.
Oh, it's thick.
Yes, it's a thick.
T-H-I-C-C. You're like a thick nub.
Yes, yes. Yes, a pen nub.
Nib.
Yes, nib.
Nib, yeah.
Nib. Yeah, it's great. It's a great pen.
Now, what's wrong with this one, with mine? What didn't work for you? I'm not going to take it personally.
It had a little bit of a rattle to it.
Oh.
The Impact RT is a very smooth gliding experience. You could feel it like rough up against the paper. You feel that?
Everyone try my pen.
I know the gel pens are like, or the, I know what you're
yeah.
talking about. I've used those. I like those too.
Oh, yeah, there are some that really glide.
Like a
I know what you're saying.
There's a little ruffle to it.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of friction.
Yes, friction. That's a great word. It's a scientific
right.
word.
It doesn't flow as easy as I want it to. But it, I do like the way it looks, though. It looks really good.
It's a great looking pen.
What do you think, Tony?
Meh.
I don't know. That was so funny. Both just in writing and wrote it, like, and looked down and it was like, no.
Well, I mean, you do sign a lot of stuff. Is that when you use it, when you sign stuff?
I've actually never used one to sign an autograph.
Oh.
Usually it's paint pens and Sharpies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You know, Pete Bonavita of the mm-hmm. of your friend of Star Wars Minute.
Mm-hmm.
He has a specific pen recommendation, and I did not agree with him. And yeah. I'm forgetting now what it is. It's a popular one.
There's a I
think it might be a Sharpie ballpoint.
Yeah, there's a Sharpie S gel, I think
yes,
it's called. I really like
that.
Those two. Flo likes those a lot. And
really?
It
I'm sorry, you guys are
them.
All
why are we not on this pen subreddit?
I gotta find it for
it
you.
There probably is one, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm deeply into that. I'm gonna file that tonight.
What's
I'm gonna
your...
blow everyone's mind tonight on that Reddit.
I know. What's your pen of choice, Todd?
I think it's the same company, but I haven't done in a long time an extensive test of them. One of my favorite things is going to an art store where they have like all those
yes.
pens
and a little tiny pad.
God damn, it's so fun to just go.
I was literally doing that today.
Really?
I was. And you want? Let's tie this that you were just talking about him signing stuff. And I brought this because he knows what this is. But I thought, bring it up on the show because this is pretty cool. Have you ever had a guest that's had their own action figure?
Oh my God.
I have
that's
not.
Amazing.
Let me see it. Wow.
Which version did you
How
get?
How cool.
Because on the back, there's an error.
Oh, really?
Yep. That, you got the error
at the back.
What? Yeah.
Does that make it worth more?
What's going on
like
with the error?
Reverse Jenny?
So the. Hi.
Hi.
The autograph is actually Swerve's autograph.
Oh, really? Let me see.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So there's that edition. There's
wow.
one with my correct signature, and then there's one where they put stickers that has my signature over that one. So there's three different versions.
Oh, crazy. I'll have to keep my eye out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's funny. But yeah.
Can I see that?
Yeah, of course.
But I will gladly sign
play
it.
With it. Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Now, will you open it, or is this the kind of thing you keep packaged?
No, I'm going to get him to sign it. So.
Oh, you're going to sign the actual doll?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, not
well,
all
the
package. Yeah.
Right, that's what I mean. So then
yeah,
will
just,
you?
I'll just keep it like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Did but you know like... that Tony collects wrestling cards? You
yes.
must know. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I do. Well, I shouldn't say I do. I collect myself and my friends.
Which I brought some in case, because you told me there were a couple you didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
I brought some, so you can see if you want to.
Okay.
Well, that's after the show.
That's perfect.
Tony, we should start a company that makes rock and roll cards. We just bands.
That was a thing in like the early 90s. There was a
let's
a
bring
company
it back.
That yeah,
we what crush.
That's got to be hard. You're getting all like the rights to all these different
Just get, no just, way. You go like, bro, take a picture. Like, send me yourself picture. Put it on. It doesn't need to be a good picture. Put it on a card. Like, and you just do like, oh, did you collect all of Motion City soundtrack? Yeah. You either have them or you don't.
All right, let's go.
I have so many Tony Thaxons. I throw them away.
Tony, do you have a product pick?
Yeah, his action figure.
Okay, yes. Excellent.
Please pick one up at ringsidecollectibles.com or at your local Walmart or Target.
Yeah, I've been seeing it in Target lately.
Nice. Yeah. You guys, this was so much fun. Thank you, Tony. Excellent first Tony's pick episode.
Thank you very much.
Tony's picks. Can't wait to see what the next ones will bring. I'd like to remind everyone that I'm on Patreon, patreon.com/AllisonRosen.
Patreon.
You know, in a normal episode, you would have heard many, many ads right now. I would have been segueing left and right. Ads are a little thin right now. So there's a way you can support the show directly, and that's patreon.com/AllisonRosen. And it's also my Substack, AllisonRosen.substack.com. Check out those things. I have merch available and other podcasts and all that stuff at allisonslinks.com. It's where you get to all of that. Bowens, where might we find you?
You can find me Twitter and Instagram at Bowens_official, TikTok at Bowens_official37, and then on YouTube, Michael and Anthony. Don't forget to tune in every single Wednesday night, 8 p.m. TBS AEW Dynamite, and then Saturday night, TNT 8 p.m. AEW Collision.
Wonderful. Todd?
If you like hardcore or death metal or some combination of the two, I'm in a band called God Collider. We're playing in San Diego, Mesa, Arizona, and a couple places in Los Angeles coming up in May.
It's okay. It added a dramatic bet.
Check us out if you like that kind of stuff. Angel City Lumber, if you're into local lumber and you live in Los Angeles.
Great. And Daniel is not here right now. I fired him.
He's cleaning
in the middle of the show.
That was intense.
Yeah, I know. You guys were talking about pens, and I said, Daniel, you're out of here.
Get out.
You're done.
Here.
Go clean the poop.
Yeah, no, but you can find him at Daniel Quantz everywhere. Tony?
Motion City Soundtrack will be back out at the end of May into June, all over the place. So come out to those.
You know, I think Daniel's actually D Quantz. I think he's D Quantz, not Daniel Quantz. Check both, and whichever one's him, follow the other one.
Me?
For Daniel. No. You guys, this was so much fun. Listeners, thank you for listening. I love you. You matter. Goodbye.
Hey, do you know about the Allison Rosen Show?